Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
It's not you being forced to make someone become a Christian. You never have to give the hard sell as a believer. That's why I said this is easier than you think. You don't ever have to push people as to whether or not they want to give their lives to Christ. God's the one giving the increase. Now, I'm not saying you never do.
Being an ambassador for Christ means you take the good news of the gospel wherever you go, and you let your light shine so that others see God glorified. Sharing our faith doesn't always mean you have to tell someone about Jesus and lead them in the prayer of salvation all in one sit down. God does the saving. It's our job to plant seeds, water them, and pray as we watch God move. With part two of our study in Acts 17, verses 1 through 4, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Planting seeds and watering can be pretty easy. But when someone asks you for the faith that is in you, now you've got to have done some homework. You need to know the answers. I'm thinking about just doing a 15-part series where I cover each week one question that people ask today. And we can look at the scriptures on how to answer that and what those answers are. I think it would be a good way to help equip you to do the work that God's calling you to do. But I'm not the first one to do that. There's resources available for you today. At the end of this study, I'm going to give you some of those resources so you can start reading them or listening to them, because they're all on Audible books. So you can put them in and you can do your, you know, housework or yard work or when you're driving, and you're going to be learning how to defend and give an answer to your faith when someone asks you. Because that's the scariest thing. The scariest thing is, what if they ask me something I don't know? That's why when people don't share their faith, sometimes they don't share, because what if I don't know? Listen, I do a Q&A every week on social media for an hour. And when someone asks me a question I don't know, somebody asked me a question yesterday about Molinism. Now, I know what Molinism is, but I haven't been up on it for a while. It's been a while since I've really looked into what Molinism is. It has to do with God achieving his will, with free will being in place, but God's providence working. God's providence, his sovereignty is at work, he's making things happen, but men still have free will, and it has to do with the way he created the world, and that he created the best world that he could create, knowing all the different decisions that we would make in all the different worlds that are out there. Now, the only reason I can tell you about it now is because I looked it up afterwards. But in the Q&A, when I was asked about Molinism, I said, I'm going to have to take a pass on this because I haven't thought about that in a long time, and I'm going to need to look it up. There's nothing wrong with that. As a pastor, it's not bad to say, I don't know. It's refreshing. Because some pastors are like, just ask me anything, I'll tell you. I know it all. And when they're asked a question they don't know, they talk in circles, blah, 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 blah. The problem with that is somebody who knows what Molinism is going to hear you talking in circles, are going to know that you're not telling the truth. Nothing wrong with telling someone, well, why'd you pick Christianity over the rest of the religions in the world? Well, I don't really know. Let me look it up. And if I should be following Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism, I'll do that because I'm a truth seeker. I want to know what the truth is. And so you're just honest. You're open. You give the information that you know and that you understand. And you wait for people to ask you. And this is what I love, because it's not you being forced to make someone become a Christian. You never have to give the hard sell as a believer. That's why I said this is easier than you think. You don't ever have to push people as to whether or not they want to give their lives to Christ. God's the one giving the increase. Now, I'm not saying you never do. For years when I would do marriage counseling, I don't do it anymore. But in order to get married at our church, you've got to go through marriage counseling at our church. So I'm talking to people that have grown up in our church. And sometimes the person has met somebody growing up in our church, and I don't know if they're Christians or not. So I would say to them at the end of the first session, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? It's just something I did. I found most of the time they'd say, oh, I've already done that. I'm okay. I'm good. I already done it. But every once in a while, someone would say yes. I would explain to them what it was, and then I would pray with them. But one guy, out of all those times of asking, one guy, his eyes filled with tears instantly. And he said, yes, I would love to. And I prayed with him, and I saw he was just ready to receive Christ. It was just that moment. Now, I didn't save him, God did. But it was just the perfect timing. That happens all the time when you invite people to church. You guys are planting and you're watering, and then you let someone know, I go to Calvary, you should come sometime. I can't tell you how many times people will tell me, they'll come up and say, we've been going to the church for about 3 months and we decided to make this our church home. And I'll say, well, that's wonderful. Really glad to have you here. I look forward to how God's going to plug you in to the church. And then I'll ask, how did you end up here? I can't tell you how many times they say, a friend of mine told me about it. A friend of mine told me I should go. And usually it's connected to a crisis in their lives. They have a crisis. You as a believer say to them, listen, you should go to the church I go to. Because in crisis, people often come to Christ. Rarely when things are going really well do people go, I'm giving my life to Jesus. Things are better than they've ever been. I'm just going to mix it up, give my life to Christ. Usually it's like, this horrible thing is happening to me. What do I do? And in consoling them, you say, why don't you come down to the church? People end up surrendering their lives to Christ. It's a system. It's a custom of how people can come to Christ. And it's the way it happens in our day. It's the reason that we can be so effective when we ask people, do you want to give your life to Christ? And so many people get saved because we're all working together, because we're all part of that. Now, it says here that he would demonstrate that Christ, this is verse 3, had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus that I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded. Not everybody, but some. Not everybody's going to get saved. But some are. Then it says, and a great multitude of devout Greeks, these were Greeks who believed in the Jewish God. That's what it means by devout Greeks. And a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. Here's the thing the New Testament tells us about salvation and faith in the church, that there's no Jew or Gentile to God. We're the same. There's no male or female. Male and female thing in the Roman Greco world is a huge thing. The man had all the rights and women were barely above a slave. The man had the right of infanticide in his family. That means when you had a child as a woman, your husband had the right to have that baby killed. And in the Roman world, a lot more female babies were killed than male. That's just like abortion today. Many more baby girls are aborted than baby boys. It happened in the Roman world as well. But God took all that aside. Poor, rich, join the church. Do you know that in the Roman world, more slaves became Christian than anything else? Slaves, rich, Jews, Gentiles, men, women, none of that mattered. All of that was taken away when it came to Christ, which was very powerful. Now it says here that he would explain to them that he's the Christ and that he had to suffer and die and rise again, which also means he had to tell them, because they would say, well, isn't Jesus going to come as a king? And he had to say to them, yes, he's going to come as a king. He's going to come back as a king. And this is in Thessalonia, where they would begin to worry about people who died. When Jesus would return, they're going to miss it. Because Paul doesn't stay here very long. We're going to learn that in our study next week. He has to leave. Why does he have to leave? Because there's a price to pay when you shine for Christ. Jesus told us about it. See, when you say amen and praise Jesus, instead of taking the Lord's name in vain, they identify you as a Christian. And someone saying, that Christian is so cool and great and awesome, no one ever said. When we are identified as Christians, we are weak, we have a crutch, we don't believe in evolution, we're not smart, we're stupid. There's a price to pay. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with identifying with Jesus, because Jesus said they hated me and so they're going to hate you. They don't hate you, they hate me. I'm okay with being persecuted. Jesus said, when you're persecuted, rejoice. When you're persecuted for my sake. So there's a price to pay and they're going to pay it. But let me just read you a passage here, and I'm going to shorten it up for the sake of our time. But in Isaiah 53, there's a passage that talks about the Messiah, the suffering servant, dying for the sins of mankind. Now, today, when you talk to someone who's Jewish, they say Isaiah 53 is about the nation of Israel. I'm going to show you as I read these few verses, it can't be the nation of Israel. Now, I'll tell you why right off the bat, and then we'll read it. Because it says here that there was no deceit found in his mouth, and he never did any violence. That's the Messiah. Can you say that of Israel? Has Israel never had any deceit? Was there never any violence found among them? I'm not saying they're worse than us. I'm saying we're the same. We're just like them. We know ourselves. All of us have been deceptive, and so has every Jewish person out there. But so has every Gentile. I'm not calling them out. I'm simply saying we are the same. And so that can't be them. How did Israel, well, how were they cut off from the land of the living? That's going to say that in this passage. He, the suffering servant, is cut off from the land of the living. We know that happened to Jesus, but never happened to Israel. Israel was kicked out of the land. They were dispersed around the world, but they were never cut off from the land of the living. So this is the way they fight it when they look at it today. So Paul's method would have ran into that. And I deal with it by just letting him know, you can't put Israel in the place of he. It can't be that. But listen to this Old Testament passage. And when you read it, you can see Jesus all of the way through it. I want to start in verse 8 of Isaiah 53. And it says this, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare to his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. Now, from prison and judgment, he was in the praetorium, and they took him to Gabbatha and then to Golgotha. Now, those words might be strange to you. The praetorium is where soldiers beat him, put the crown of thorns on his head and punched him and beat him. Gabbatha is the place of the pavement where Pilate washed his hands and said, I find no fault in him, and condemned him to death. That happened on the pavement called Gabbatha. Then they took him to Golgotha, which is the place of the cross, and there they crucified him. So he was taken from prison and judgment and was cut off from the land of the living. As Paul would read this and tell the story of Jesus, the account of Christ's life, they would see the connection. It then says in verse 9, and they made him a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. They buried him. The Messiah was cut off from the land of the living, and they buried him in a rich man's grave, and he was hung up between two thieves, and this was foretold. Then it says, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. And that's the section, this whole section is the section I say can't fit Israel. There's other parts that do, but not here. This can't be Israel. And then it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. So the soul of Jesus was made an offering for sin. But then it says, he shall see his seed. This one that was cut off from the earth, whose soul became an offering for sin, will see his seed. What is a seed? A seed is the fruit of your work. So he did work, and then now he sees the seed. Listen to what it goes on to say. He shall prolong his days. God is going to prolong the days of the suffering servant. He's going to rise from the dead. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. How does someone who is cut off from the land of the living have these things happen? And then verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul. His soul was made an offering for sin. Now the suffering servant is going to see the work of his soul. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. This is the passage like Paul would have shared, he and others. But he went in and they would read that. And to them, see, this idea that Israel's the suffering servant is new. It's not traditionally, this was messianic. They would read it and go, that's Jesus. And some would believe, but some would not. That was how Paul brought people to Christ. Again, it was a few, not many. And you and I are called to do the same thing as ambassadors, to water and to plant and to allow God to give the increase. Just got to make yourself available. You just need to say, Lord, here I am. Now, let me give you three thoughts in closing. Number one, you are a chosen representative for Christ wherever you go, and you are not alone. You have the Spirit with you, upon you, with you in the room working, and angels who work for you. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? You have angels who work with you. in the spiritual realm. We're not alone in this. Second thought, look for ways to make your custom to plant seeds and water seeds. What works for me might not work for you. What works for you might not work for someone else. But you're looking for ways to share it. For some of you, you'll be very bold. For others of you, you won't. And these could be both be very powerful. Because when someone who doesn't talk much about the Lord suddenly tells somebody, I'm a Christian, I started following Jesus a year ago, it can be very powerful for someone to hear that. Why would you do that? If you're young and you say, I live for Jesus, and others are like, why would you do that? I don't understand. Now you have an opportunity to be able to share Christ, plant and seed and allow God to touch and save. And finally, be a diligent student to be able to answer the questions when you're asked. Because we're afraid we're going to be asked something we don't know. So we do our homework. Now, I want to give you 5 books that you can read. These are all on Audible, as I said, so you can read and you can hear them. These are all going to help you to be able to answer questions when you're asked them. And you can listen to them over and over again. It's like throwing paint on a wall. Sooner or later, the wall gets painted. Now, it's not very pretty once it's done, but it is painted. And we can learn this information. And I'll challenge you as a Christian, do this. Be ready. Listen to these things. Read them. Redeem your time. So I want to give you 5 of them. Now, later on, you can find these books and the notes from this study on YouTube. Go to YouTube, Calvary Tucson page, and you're going to see this study. Click on it and click the notes that are under it. And it will have all the scriptures I covered today, and it will have these 5 books listed. Okay? So here they are. Number 1, Christian Apologetics by the late Dr. Norman Geisler. It's a tremendous book in apologetics, defending the faith, in what we need to know to defend the faith. And it's very well written. The 2nd book is by the late Dave Hunt, In Defense of the Faith, Defending Why You Believe. Again, it's a very good book that's written. The 3rd is by Josh McDowell, who's not the late, he's still alive. And he wrote several books, More Than a Carpenter, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. But the one I'm suggesting today is one called Beyond Belief and Convictions. Again, he's answering why you would have such a conviction that you would be a Christian. It's very good. And then Another Gospel by Elisa Childers. Now, she's been here with us. And she answers questions people ask today. She'll deal with the transgender issue in it. She'll deal with other questions of, that people will ask today about Christianity and why you would be a Christian. We are living truly, for younger people, in a post-Christian world. We used to be a Christian nation, and we are a post-Christian nation now. And so you've got to know how to have these answers, because light shines bright in the darkness. This up-and-coming generation, 9% are Christians. So that means there's a lot of light to be shined. Listen, if the Lord tarries, that's not going to be my work. It's going to be your work for those young people who are here. God's going to be using you to make a difference in their lives in the years to come as we move into more darkness. And finally, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist by Dr. Norman Geisler and Frank Turek. Frank's been here with us before. Love him. But they both give information on these books, and they're good. Now, all of these are on audio. You can put in your earplugs, and you can go for walks. You can redeem your time, and you can listen to them. But I encourage you to do your homework. I'll also do the best that I can as we're having time and messages to be able to give you defense for your faith. So you have the answers as you spend some time here. I'll help redeem the time you got here to not only encourage you to walk close with Christ, but to give you what you need to be able to defend yourself and why you are a Christian. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you that we find this information here in the Bible that helps us to understand that we are ambassadors and that we are called to plant and to water and that you give the increase. And thank you that we don't have to get people saved. That if people come to Christ, that's all you. You're doing it. And we're just planting and watering. We're just farming away, and you're the one who's adding to the kingdom. Lord, thank you that this is easier than we thought, and I pray for those who may be really scared to share their faith because they might be asked something they don't know. I pray that they would just be settled by you, in knowing that we simply can go and look it up. We can figure it out. We want to know the truth anyway, so we want to know what the truth is. We don't want to defend something that isn't true. And we remember that Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. And we are truth seekers. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. I'd also ask that no one would leave early. We're almost done. We'll dismiss you here shortly. But if you're here today and you never have given your life to Christ, you've never done that. You say, well, I grew up in the church. Well, growing up in the church doesn't save you. You say, well, I go to church now. Well, going to church doesn't save you. You have to have a relationship with him. Jesus said, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. I know you're born of the flesh because I can see you, but has your spirit been born again? Or you won't see the kingdom of heaven. And this is a very easy thing to do, but it's very profound. It's easy for you to do it, but it brings a profound change into your life. And that is you receive Christ. Very biblical. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who call on his name. So you need to say to him today, I want you in my life. You need to invite him in. Jesus will not force his way into your life. He's not going to come in if you don't ask him. He's waiting for an invitation. Come into my life, Lord. I want to live for you. He'll change you. He'll empower you. And he'll make you an ambassador. He'll fill you with the Spirit. But you have to surrender to him today. If you would like to give your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something again easy, but very profound for you. Just lift your hand up. God bless you there in the back row. Your hand went up immediately. That's awesome. God bless you guys back here in the back row. And sir, near the back. That's great. God bless you back by the doors to my left. God bless you all the way over in the back. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. God bless you back over here, again to my right. All right, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I sinned, and I know my sin separates me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you, that I can be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.